Where do you go when you want to know what's new to do and who is who?
Studio Classroom is the place to be.
Come along and you will see connecting is the thing to do. Give your life a different view.
You can learn and you can share with people living everywhere.
Studio Classroom, the place to learn.
The place to grow.
Stay tuned and watch the show.
Hello and welcome to Studio Classroom. My name is Gabe.
I'm Carolyn.
And you are joining us for a lesson called A Taste for Travel. Do you like traveling? Well, many of you do. And maybe if you are traveling, you like to try different things. There are many different kinds of foods that you can eat. Maybe you have a taste for travel. Well, have you ever tried anything really interesting? Maybe some street food, something that you bought in a certain country that was very different. Carolyn, have you ever tried any interesting street food?
Well, I have done a bit of traveling around Asia, and one thing I tried that I thought was very interesting was an oyster pancake. And at the time, I had no idea what was in it except for eggs and oysters. And it was quite good, actually.
Oyster pancakes are quite good. I know exactly what you're talking about. One time I was traveling and I had some silkworm cocoons and I had some fried bees and snake meat. Those are very interesting things to try. I like the fried bees. They kind of tasted like popcorn. But I don't think I'm going to try the other things again. Well, we're going to learn from Jo's experiences here in our lesson today, and she has some advice for us as well. Let's get started with the first reading of the day, A Taste for Travel.
A Taste for Travel. You can watch your health and still eat like a local. I love street food. Wherever I go, I'm always looking for chances to eat like a local. In many places, some of the best ethnic food is served from a cart. From fish and chips in Edinburgh to pad thai in Bangkok, I've tried some delicious stuff. But there's a dark side to all this good food. Food poisoning. I once had a bad case of it in Nepal.
Hello, friends. This is your word lady, Ellen. You are on vacation and want to try the local food. Is it safe? In this month's Passport article, we'll be taking a closer look at how to eat safely while traveling. Before we start, here is your vocabulary. Food poisoning. Food poisoning is a noun. The whole office got food poisoning after eating at the Italian restaurant down the street. Rural. Rural is an adjective. My aunt lives in a rural area around 30 miles outside of town. Horror. Horror is a noun. Jim loves to watch horror movies late at night. Upset. Upset is an adjective. This medicine might give you an upset stomach. Your more information word is ethnic. Ethnic is an adjective. Sounds like a cautionary tale. Let's look at the article and find out.
Well, it sounds like Joe has had a lot of very interesting foods, but it doesn't always turn out well for her body. And there's something in the title here I see, A Taste for Travel. If you have a taste for something, that means that you enjoy doing it. Gabe, do you have a taste for anything?
Do I have a taste for anything? I have a taste for jazz music. I enjoy playing drums and I like playing jazz with the drums. I also go and see some shows. I have a taste for that kind of music. You see that word taste, and maybe you think of food or drinks. Maybe you have a taste for coffee. You love all kinds of coffee. But as you'll learn in this article, it's not just about food or drinks. You can also have a taste for language learning. If you're learning English or you enjoy learning other languages, you have a taste for language learning. So, we're learning all about a taste for travel today.
That's right, and we see here you can watch your health and still eat like a local. So it is important to take care of yourself while you're traveling and also enjoy the food you eat.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we see, I love street food. Wherever I go, I'm always looking for chances to eat like a local. Gabe, do you do this when you travel?
Oh, Carolyn, I should more often. To eat like a local, that means to eat what the people in that area often eat, to eat like a local. Actually, yeah, I do. I do like to try things when I'm visiting a certain country. I like to try the foods that they offer. So, yeah, it is good to eat like a local. Do you ever do this?
I do. I really enjoy eating street food and just walking around to all of the different ethnic foods. And we see in many places, some of the best ethnic food is served from a cart. So I do like to walk around to these different carts and try many different kinds of ethnic foods.
All right, well, we have ethnic foods. You could talk about other things as being ethnic as well. Maybe some music you're listening to is ethnic music. It's maybe from a certain country in South America. It is ethnic music, and it really is music that you can only listen to maybe in that country, or it comes from that country. Maybe there's ethnic clothing. Some people are wearing some clothes that you would only see in a certain country or a certain part of the world.
That's right. So it's very special to that culture. Mm-hmm. And we see some of these ethnic foods, from fish and chips in Edinburgh to pad thai in Bangkok. I've tried some delicious stuff. So she's had fish and chips and pad thai. Those are some very interesting foods that you don't always see every day.
Mm-hmm. It's true. Actually, a few months ago, I went to Australia and had lots of fish and chips. That, I guess, is what the locals eat. People love to eat fish and chips, especially on the beach. And yes, pad thai is a very famous dish in Thailand. Well, we have something to learn with Steve and Ken in the Information Cloud.
Hi friends, have you ever noticed? Sometimes British names can be incredibly difficult to say properly because their pronunciations don't correspond with their spellings.
Like the name of Scotland's capital city, it looks like it should be pronounced Edinburgh, but it's actually pronounced Edinburgh.
The small town of Postwick is pronounced Posick. And that famous college at Cambridge is not pronounced, as you would expect, Magdalene, but rather Maudlin.
British family names have the same problem. For example, Auchinleck can be pronounced Affleck. And don't pronounce M-C-K-A-Y as McKay, you say Mackay.
This pronunciation problem isn't just troublesome for non-Brits like you and me. The British people themselves have trouble keeping things straight, too.
So much so that the BBC actually has a Department of Pronunciation to ensure all British place names and family names are pronounced accurately over the air.
To be fair, the U.S. has a few pronunciation traps of its own, like the name of a well-known fishing village in Massachusetts. The uninitiated might be tempted to pronounce it as Gloucester, but actually it's Gloucester.
All this to say, friends, if you ever mispronounce an English name, you are forgiven.
在英文里头有许多人名和地名的发音并不能照它的拼法来读，像今天课文中提到的 Fish and Chips in Edinburgh, 爱丁堡的鱼和洋芋片。若是照字面上的发音，爱丁堡好像应该读作 Edinburgh, 但实际上呢是要读作 Edinburgh。那类似的拼法与发音的不符常常出现在英国的一些人名和地名。著名的剑桥大学有一个学院，字面上好像应该读作 Magdalene, 其实这个字要读作 Maudlin。台湾的马街医院，英文马街的拼法M-A-C-K-A-Y 看似该读作 McKay, 其实是要读 McKay。 这就是今天的 Info Cloud, 我们下次云端见。
Continuing in our article, we see But there's a dark side to all of this good food. Food poisoning. So there's something that isn't very good about trying these different foods, and it's food poisoning. And food poisoning is an interesting word. It's something you get when the food you eat makes you sick. Isn't it, Gabe?
That's right. Now, this word poison is a very serious thing. Of course, there might be actual poisons in food that if you eat, it will make you sick or even worse. But food poisoning doesn't necessarily have to be a kind of poison. Maybe it's just the way that something is cooked. Maybe you're not used to it. Your body is not used to it. And so you can call all of those kinds of things food poisoning. When your body reacts in a certain way, that's not good. That could be called food poisoning. Maybe you might vomit or even worse if you have food poisoning. And Carolyn, it's not very comfortable having food poisoning, is it?
No, food poisoning is not a comfortable thing to have. And we see that Joe says, I once had a bad case of it in Nepal, another country here. And we're going to learn a little bit more from Michelle in the language lab.
Hi everyone, I'm Michelle. 首先我们来看的是 ethnic 这个形容词。Ethnic 是指民族的或者是某个人种的。例如 ,all the ethnic outfits on display were handmade. 所有展示的民族服装都是手工制的。或者是 the government is trying to ease the conflicts among the country's ethnic groups. 政府试着要安抚国家中各个种族之间的冲突。或者是 Jason loves to listen to ethnic music. Jason 很喜欢听民族音乐。继续我们来看的是 food poisoning 这个名词。Food poisoning 是指食物中毒。例如 the patient with food poisoning was given an IV and a pain reliever. 这个食物中毒的病患已经吊点滴和使用止痛药了。或者是 there are over 100 cases of food poisoning in this junior high school. 这个国中有超过100个食物中毒的案例。
We're joining Joe in this article, A Taste for Travel. Of course, when you are traveling, it's fun to try the different ethnic foods that a certain country has to offer. But, and there's a fun phrase there is a dark side. That means there is a negative side to trying street food or food from a cart. Well, that negative side or that dark side is food poisoning. You don't want to have food poisoning from any kind of food that you try. We're going to learn some things about how to avoid food poisoning. Let's continue with the next part of our article today.
A Taste for Travel.I was in bed for 2 days and unable to eat much for weeks after. I was in a rural area, so I had no access to clean water or food. I couldn't help getting sick. Most travelers have a horror story or two about food poisoning. It's a risk we all take when we eat strange foods. But there are ways to enjoy good local food and avoid an upset stomach.A few precautions might save you a lot of pain. The following tips will help keep you safe and healthy.
It sounds like Joe is having a very difficult time on this trip. We see, I was in bed for 2 days and unable to eat much for weeks after.This does not sound like she was having a very good time on her trip in Nepal if she was in bed for 2 days. What do you think, Gabe?
Well, I think so, too. Usually when you travel to another country, you want to see the sights. You want to get out and explore a little bit. And I know Joe does, but she was in bed. That means she had to stay in her bed for 2 days, and that's not it. Carolyn, she was unable to eat much for almost 2 weeks after.That is pretty bad food poisoning. Well, I hope that kind of food poisoning hasn't occurred to you, friends. We're going to learn more about Joe's story. Here she says, I was in a rural area, so I had no access to clean water or food. So that's why, Carolyn.
Yes, that does explain why she had food poisoning. She didn't have access to clean water or food mm-hmm. because she was in a rural area. And a rural area is a place that is far away from a city. Usually we think of the countryside, mm-hmm. right, Gabe?
That's right, the countryside. I think of the opposite being urban, U-R-B-A-N. That's within the city. And a rural area is kind of out in the country, maybe not many people around. And, of course, technology is not as good in rural areas as it is in urban areas. And so sometimes water and things like that might not be as healthy as well in rural areas. Well, you know that word rural. Talk about it today. Use it sometime. Do you live in a rural area or do you live in an urban area? Well, she had no access to clean water or food in this rural area. And so she says, I couldn't help getting sick. I couldn't help getting sick. When you can't help doing something, what does that mean, Carolyn?
Well, it means that there was really nothing you could do to prevent it. It was going to happen, and mm-hmm. you couldn't stop it. So if you don't have clean water, you probably can't help getting sick.
That's right. You can't help it. And there are other ways to use that phrase when you can't help doing something. You think something is so funny. I couldn't help laughing at you. You were so funny. Or maybe there's something that you just really wanted to do and you did it. And you say, I couldn't help myself. I just had to do it. I couldn't help myself. Well, how does our article continue, Carolyn?
Well, we see that most travelers have a horror story or two about food poisoning. So most people who travel to other countries and try foods that they aren't used to eating have a horror story or two mm-hmm. about getting food poisoning. And a horror story is a very scary story. Gabe, how might you use this word, horror?
Well, horror makes me think of maybe a horror movie. Of course, we're talking about horror stories here, a scary story, something you don't want to experience yourself. And a horror movie is a scary movie. Now, this word also makes me think of the word horrible, an adjective, horrible, H-O-R-R-I-B-L-E. I just want to point out there's a difference between these two words when you're talking about movies. A horror movie is a scary movie. Maybe it's very well done, though. But a horrible movie is a movie that maybe is not very scary, but the important thing is it's not well done at all. It's an awful movie. It's a horrible movie.
That's right. Well, let's take some time now to go see Liz in the Grammar Gym.
Hi there, friends. Welcome to the Grammar Gym. My name is Liz. Here's our grammar tip sentence from today's Passport article. Most travelers have a horror story or two about food poisoning. Notice the phrase, story or two. It's a very informal way of saying some stories, with the understanding that there aren't too many. This phrase, story or two, comes from the phrase, one or two. We use it when we want to talk about a small but indefinite amount of something. For example, although Martha is not a nurse, she does know a thing or two about taking care of sick people. Or, Eric likes to read a book or two when he has free time. Now it's your turn. Find a friend or two and practice using this phrase. And if you'd like to see some more example sentences, they're available in today's Grammar Tip section in your Studio Classroom magazine. This is Liz from the Grammar Gym. See you next time.
All right, before the Grammar Gym, we were talking about people having a horror story or two about food poisoning. And we continue, it's a risk we all take when we eat strange foods. So taking risks. When you go to a new country, you might be taking a risk by eating some of the local food. Carolyn, do you like taking risks?
Well, I don't really like taking risks. I'm not a big risk taker, but I do like to try new foods when I travel.
All right, so it is maybe a little risky to try some new foods. I do like taking risks sometimes. I like to jump off of high places into water. It can be uncomfortable if I land wrong, but that's a risk that I take because I enjoy jumping from heights. Well, it is a risk you will take if you want to go and enjoy some strange foods as well. But we continue. There are ways to enjoy good local food and avoid an upset stomach. There are good ways to do this. What is an upset stomach? That word upset is from our word bank. Carolyn, what does that mean?
Well, if you are upset, then you are unhappy. And if your stomach is upset, then your stomach is unhappy. It's very uncomfortable and probably hurts a lot.
All right. You feel uncomfortable. Maybe you feel upset about something. So it can be used to talk about your feelings, your emotions. You're upset. You're angry. You're mad. Maybe you're a little bit confused. Maybe your stomach can also feel upset. It feels unhappy. I like the way you put that, Carolyn. Well, do you ever get upset stomachs? Maybe there are a couple of ways to avoid upset stomachs. Well, Joe continues, a few precautions might save you a lot of pain. Might save you a lot of pain. Carolyn, but let's take a look at that word precaution here. What does that mean? What's a precaution?
Well, a precaution could be a warning, or it could be something you do ahead of time to prevent something from happening later. You use caution before something happens, a precaution.
All right, very good. You might want to have some precautions. They might save you a lot of pain. Or you could also say it saves you from a lot of pain. Joe says the following tips will help keep you safe and healthy. And of course, we're going to learn all about those tips tomorrow in our next lesson. But for right now, it's time for us to continue learning something with Michelle in the language lab.
OK, 接下来我们看的是 horror 这个名词。Horror 是指恐怖，例如 I felt numb with horror when I saw the robber beating the old lady. 当我看到那个抢匪痛打这位老太太的时候，我因为惊恐整个呆掉了。它的动词是 horrify, H-O-R-I-F-Y, 意思是使震惊或者是使感到恐怖。例如 Theo was horrified by the terrible scene caused by the fire. Theo 被火场的恐怖景象给吓坏了。所以我们看的是 upset 这个形容词 upset 在这里是指不舒服或者是不适的例如 Irene has an upset stomach Irene 现在肚子不舒服 upset 也指生气的或者是不高兴的例如 Eddie was upset about losing the game Eddie 因为比赛输了而心情不佳 upset 也可以当动词意思是使生气它的过去式和过去分词一样是 upset 例如 what she said really upset me 她说的话真的让我很火大 And let's return to our teachers
Today we've been learning about Joe and a time when she had a really bad case of food poisoning and couldn't get out of bed for 2 days and Gabe, it makes me wonder haveYou ever had an experience like this?
Oh, yeah, many times. There was one time that I'm thinking about, I don't know if it was food poisoning, but I reacted to the food in a way that I didn't before. I went to this restaurant and tried their mollusks, a kind of seafood in a shell, and the first time was okay. But the second time I had it, after half an hour, I started itching all over, and I went to the mirror, and it turned out my face was swollen. I had an allergic reaction to these things. I don't think that the restaurant was very clean. Well, Carolyn, have you ever had food poisoning before?
I did, and it was very surprising because we talked about how in rural areas things can be unclean, but my food poisoning happened in Singapore, one of the cleanest cities there is.
What?
So it was very, very strange.
That is quite strange. Well, I guess you need to be careful wherever you go. We have some good and important tips to learn next time here on Studio Classroom, so we will see you then. Until then, goodbye.
Bye-bye.
The Adventures of Tom Sawyer by Mark Twain. The widow Douglas put Huck's money into banks that paid 6%. And Aunt Polly asked Judge Thatcher to do the same with Tom's. So each of the boys was now rich, with a dollar coming to him for every weekday in the year, half a dollar on Sundays. In those simple days, a dollar and a quarter a week was enough for a boy's housing and food and clothes and baths. Judge Thatcher had a very high opinion of Tom.
"No ordinary boy,"
he said,
"would ever have got my daughter out of the cave."
When Becky told her father how Tom had taken her punishment at school, the judge was even more pleased.
"Yes,"
he said,
"Tom told a lie, but it was a splendid lie, a gentleman's lie. I think Tom will be a great lawyer or a great soldier one day. I'll help him to get into the National Military Academy at West Point to be trained as an Army officer, and then into the best law school in America."
Being rich and being looked after by the widow Douglas caused Huck Finn to enter a new world, and his sufferings in it were almost more than he could bear. The widow's servants kept him clean and well-dressed, combed and brushed. They put him to bed every night in a bed with perfectly clean bedclothes that seemed to him unfriendly. He had to eat with a knife and fork. He had to use cups and plates. He had to learn to read. He had to go to church. He had to talk so properly that talking had no color or taste for him. The bars and locks of civilization seemed to be making him a prisoner. Huck bore his miseries for 3 weeks, and then he disappeared. The widow hunted for him everywhere for 2 days. The public were worried. They searched everywhere. They even looked for his body in the river.